TalkZone.com!
A streak of fire, a breath of flame, eluding all who reach and clutch. A gray ghost thrown into the game that rival hands may never touch. A rubber-bounding, blasting soul whose destination is the goal, Red Grange of Illinois by Grantland Rice. For many of us, names like Butkus, Nitschke, and Grange are more than mere players on a field. They represent the history, the glory, and the spirit of a university that has contributed so much to this country and has made our lives rich beyond anything we may offer in return. If Virginia belongs to Jefferson, then surely the land-grant legislation proposed and signed by Abraham Lincoln in 1865 gave birth to his home state university in 1867. And countless other institutions for the people, of the people, and by the people. We are the living legacy of Father Abraham's great institution. Sons and daughters of Illinois, our renaissance, in the words of Ron Gunther, is now. From Chicago, the greatest sports city in America, we are proud to bring you Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
Okay, so you didn't like my 7-1.
Well, I thought it was completely delusional on your part. Completely delusional. Completely delusional. Completely delusional. Completely delusional. Completely delusional.
Good morning, Boz, or good afternoon, Boz. How are you today?
I'm alive and well and dry, finally. I think my 7-1 is still alive. I said we weren't going to win.
Boz is 7-1 and is still alive, just like when the Cubs' magic number is about at 40, you know, halfway through the season, and they have no chance of winning. Boz is still there, still at every game, still rooting, and still believing, despite the delusional nature of his thought process.
Someone's got to, because pretty soon we won't have too many people in the stands the way we're going.
Well, that was taped from last week's show, and it was Boz talking about his prediction for this year's Illini in the Big Ten Conference. Of course, the 7-1 record is still a mathematical possibility, but anybody who watched last week's game may differ with you, Boz.
You know, I said I was hoping and feeling and hoping that we would be competitive and it would be a close game, and then if we lost, you know, we'd start feeling better about ourselves and then have a chance against Penn State. But the way the weekend went, you know, I'm not so sure how much of a chance we have Saturday against Penn State. Let me ask you this first of all. What the heck happened to the fighting in Fighting Illini? I went to Columbus. You remember that story a week ago? So the guy from Oregon fan went to the first game, traveled somewhere, wrote the coach an invoice.
Boise State.
Yeah. And the coach actually sent him a check, which the gentleman didn't cash. But, you know, yesterday or the day before, my son sends me a text or an email. He said, are you going to send Zook an invoice for your trip? It wasn't worth the time to take to do. And I didn't spend that much money.
Well, what's interesting is if you read my blog,
which is up on TalkingIllini.com.
Thank you, Boz. You will see that I think we ought to give back the nickname Fighting Illini if this is all the fight we have left in us. And I will say something else, too. There was an Illinois State player who said after the game, he said, Illinois is by far and away the most talented defensive line we will face all year. But Eastern Illinois played harder, played smarter, and was a better defensive line than all these four-star, five-star, three-star recruits that we have who may someday be playing in the NFL.
And Illini Nation, we're going to have Mark Tupper along in a few minutes from the Decatur Herald Review. He'll try to help us decipher this mess, although he, like most of us, I think is writing with one hand and another hand up in the air or on his head saying, you know, what the heck is going on, and kind of peeking down the calendar. We're 2 weeks away or so from the official start of basketball.
I feel bad for these beat writers and columnists in Central Illinois and in the Chicago area who cover this team for a living and are dependent upon the administration and the coaching staff for their livelihood, because clearly these guys can't say how they really feel about this football team. If they did, they'd have access cut off. They'd be at odds with the administration, with the coaching staff. They would not be able to earn their livelihood. But you know what? I'm not sure you can earn your livelihood by lying to your public about the product you're covering either.
Well, I'm not sure that they're lying. I think Tupps, I read an article he did yesterday, and he stepped out, I think, as far as he can, and I think Herb stepped out Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday, Herb, actually, maybe we're a bad influence, or I'm a bad influence. I shouldn't say you, boss. Perhaps that I'm a bad influence on Herb, because some of my cynicism and some of my objectivity is rubbing off on Herb, and on Sunday in his column, he wrote what for him was a scathing commentary on the state of Illinois football.
You know, our friend Paul from Deerfield, who's too shy to call in, talked to me before the show, and he asked an interesting question. He said, can you say hello to Illini Nation if there is no Illini Nation? I didn't know if he was talking about our audience per se or the general populace that might be at the Fresno State game in December.
Or perhaps he was talking about the real Illini Nation, which doesn't exist anymore, and therefore we can't have Chief Illiniwek because we can't pay off the Indian Nation and retain our Indian mascot.
That's how bad.
Excuse me, symbol.
Yeah, that's how bad things are going. Three games into the season, we're drumming up the Chief again.
So that was a triple entendre.
Mr. G, as you know and as our listeners know from last week, I made the trip to Columbus.
My condolences let me
try to paint the picture. You know, for those of you, for those of us who feel that you're really, really big time fans, regardless of how good or bad the team is or what you might think, you got to get out and start traveling with the team and go into some of these venues. And if you don't want to travel with our team, travel with someone else. Now, I had been in Columbus several times, a handful of times previously, but never during football season and hence never seeing a game. But, you know, regardless of the weather, which really, it didn't start rain until the game started. The report was supposed to be rain before and after the game, but I guess they got their timing mixed up. But, you know, after a while.
You mean a weatherman was wrong?
Yeah. But after it started and we got wet, you know, honestly, I didn't even feel it. But, you know, I want to thank my friend Mark in Cincinnati for coming up with five of the most unbelievable seats in the horseshoe. 10th row.
By the way, did you not feel it because you had 40 beers before the game or what?
No, you know better than that. 40 beers I'd be spending in the bathroom the whole game, which there's another interesting story. I did go at halftime and I walk in. It was like home. There was like troughs at Wrigley Field. And I kind of mumbled this and the guy next to me goes, yeah, and everything goes straight to the Bud distributorship a few miles down the road.
That's what I call recycling.
Absolutely. But anyway, so we had terrific seats. We were in the 10th row on the 45-yard line right behind the Illini bench. Fortunately or unfortunately, we came into the stadium a little later than to see the warm-ups and when they were jive-talking to one another, which I want to get to in a second.
What decade are you
in? I don't know. What do you call it? They were woofing at each other. Tupps called it, I don't know, woofing at each other.
I mean, seriously.
Trash talking.
I haven't heard the phrase jive-talking since the movie Airplane.
I listened to a Bee Gees album on the way here, that's why. But anyway.
Wait, can I say that could be the gayest thing I've ever heard?
You could say whatever you want because this is Talking Illini with Boz and Mr.
By the
G.
Way, no offense to our gay listeners.
And if
there.
You want to say something, I'm sure we got plenty of them too, you could call us at 888-463-6748. And I know we're making one listener happy because he loves to listen. He thinks you're funny and I'm just a straight setup guy for him. But Paul in Deerfield, that's for you. So anyway, we get into the stadium. Well, first of all, before that, We parked kind of west of the stadium. We're walking down a street, which I think was called Woody Hayes Drive, between the ballpark and the old St. John Arena, which for those of you who might be young is where the Buckeyes used to play hoop back in the day. Guys like Clark Kellogg and all the way back to John Havlicek and Jerry Lucas.
Luke Whitty.
And Larry Siegfried.
Alan Horniak.
Exactly. And so I had been in this building a couple times, and it's a nice presentation. Now, why we don't have something either at our school, I don't think... You can't, well, because we don't own the Assembly Hall. But fans, fans of
By the
college
way, it's,
sports.
It's official. It's official. Boz is not only talking to himself, he's answering himself.
Fans, sports fans that go to these places. So I took these guys in here who are sports fans, and we walked around St. John Arena, and the band is in there doing a little pregame pep concert. It ended right as we went in. But we walk around and see all the photos and the trophies and the memorabilia, and you imagine all these guys playing here, and it's a kind of neat, fun experience.
So, I feel a little like Alex Trebek. Boz is, you know, answering Jeopardy questions that he makes up some himself. He's getting the answers right. Correct, Mr. Bosley.
Dennis Hobson's picture was up there. I didn't see Brad Sellers, by the way, but Dennis Hobson with that flat top haircut.
Brad Sellers, the softest player to ever lead the Big Ten in rebounding.
Yeah, but he led the Big Ten. So then we go into, we had some time. It wasn't raining. I had a feeling it was going to be raining afterwards. So we got then to walk around campus a little by the ballpark. Then we went in, and as we go in on the TVs, they got the Indiana-Michigan game. And as you can imagine, tons of people are standing around them rooting for Indiana. And there's a few minutes left to go in the game. I think Indiana's down a couple. They're moving the ball. And all of a sudden, like a tornado's coming or the atom bomb is being dropped, there's a blackout on the TV, and then and the next thing you see is the band marching on the field. And so everyone starts booing and hissing, because if you want to see the band, you could just go into the stadium. But they couldn't. I guess they have no technology to have one TV have one thing and the other have the other thing. So we didn't get to see the end of the Indiana-Michigan game. I went in, went to my seat. My guys were giving me high fives because I had procured the tickets, and they were wonderful.
Who else did you go with to the game?
My friends from, Kevin, Arlingtonites Kevin, who's an alum. My buddy Tom, who is a letterman from North Central and played for Gunther when Gunther was a head football coach at North Central. My buddy Tom.
Was that team over 500?
No, and also my buddy was uh-oh before uh-oh. He was a huge, excellent tight end who's getting like maybe, you know, one look, one pass a game.
So, Buzz, you're frothing here.
So, no, I'm leading up to where we're going for this show today. And again, we got Tufts coming on in about 10 minutes. You can email us at talkingalini@yahoo.com or give us a call, 888-463-6748.
I want to say one thing about emailing versus calling. Call. It's therapeutic. Vent. Scream. Yell. Tell us how you really feel. An email pounding on the keys only goes so far.
Right.
Get on the line with us and tell us how you really feel.
We do have
again,
some emails.
Again, that's 888-463-6748. 888-463-6748.
So, my buddy Tom's brother lives in Columbus. We're staying at his house, and a third guy that was going to come with us had to cancel. So we ended up taking a friend of Tom's brother, who is an alum of OSU, graduated about 10, 12 years ago. And, you know, the kid grew up in town, went to school there, never had a seat this good. So that made me feel good about the whole situation. Then the game starts. And it wasn't until, like, when I got home and saw the news or something that I saw that pregame, you know, tete-a-tete. But the first thing I want to say, when we're addressing now the ball club, the situation, the game, we got to start from the very beginning. And you heard me say this before last year. You might laugh at me, but I'm upset and disappointed and embarrassed. I think it goes to discipline and who's in charge, who's in control, and if they can enforce discipline. But I was really taken when I saw that little incident. I don't care who started it or whatever. It's BS. We're not good enough to do that stuff, to get involved in that stuff. And even if we were good enough, then that's all the more reason why we shouldn't it. So number one, upsetting that we can't control our guys as they're sitting down and stretching. Then they got to get up and go, you know, trash talk to them and start a silly little thing. Number two.
Maybe that's why Tressel passed for a touchdown.
Could be.
Last minute of the game.
Could be, or the fact that we beat them at their place last time. And I got mixed feelings about that, but you know, what comes around goes around.
I told you after the ISU game, at the end of the game, when we were trying to shove the ball in the end zone in a four-touchdown game, that what comes around does, in fact, go around, Boz.
Right, right. The second point, and there's only three, so I'm almost done here. We are, again, discipline, organization, wanting it, looking like a team that's been there before. Our guys are all over the place during a national anthem. We can't line up like a team and look respectful and all that. It's just, to me, it's disgraceful and embarrassing. And I'm right there, you know, I could almost reach out and touch the guy, and they're like standing all over the place. Can't even get in line. And if you can't do that, how are you going to run plays and call audibles and do that?
Were the Ohio State players in a straight line?
Yes, they were. They were. The third thing then, again, and this is what I said yesterday, because I looked across the field to see, and they were. Because Tressel's that, I mean, heck, Tressel wears a tie to the game every day. But the third thing, I said it last year, you're going to laugh at me. We look like, again, a bunch of misfits. We can't even tuck our shirts in. Now, if you guys had shirts tucked in, it's not the way the shirts are made. They can be tucked in without having come out all the time. A few of the young kids who don't play had them in, and they look good doing it. And I'm sure if everyone did it because of the great strength and conditioning program they do all season long, they'd look good too. But we look like a bunch of guys that don't care, who just came, you know, out of the streets to play ball with our shirts hanging out of our tails, and the three of those things combined speaks to no discipline.
Our shirt tails hanging out.
Exactly. You, thank you very much. You know what I mean. So this whole, we're going to talk about what's going on, but it starts at the top. It starts with organization and discipline, and I'm afraid I don't see it.
Well, the one thing I would say in defense of kids, in defense of kids who, you know, are a little bit fast and loose with rules and formalities that we take for granted. One, kids come from different backgrounds. You can't place your standards on kids who grew up in a completely different background. Two, it seems to work okay at places like USC and Miami. And I'm not saying I want to be that program, but it doesn't mean that you can't win and can't have that kind of attitude or swagger. You can have attitude, you can have swagger, and you still can be a disciplined football team that wins games. Disciplined on the field, and a team that wins games. So that in and of itself isn't the reason why we're losing. It may add to an already bad situation, and it may exacerbate a wound that you see in terms of what is going on with the Illini football program right now. But that in and of itself doesn't do it for me.
No, I know, but it's part of it. In basketball, they stop the game and make the guys tuck the shirts in.
Well, you need to talk to the head of Big Ten officials then.
Well, you know, the games would be 6 hours instead of three.
So a very loyal listener, Craig Brown, who has been very supportive of the university and goes by the name of CB on the boards, this is what he writes to Boz and Mr. G. While it hasn't happened yet, it would appear that the worst-case scenario for this year's team may come to pass. Now all the administrative issues of who is captaining the ship, the university, come into play. People will likely be calling for Zook's ouster, which is the easy response after watching the OSU game. But as usual, reality makes these things more complex than many fans want to recognize. Starting at the top, how soon will the president be named? What will his or her attitude be towards football? Will they see it as an important ingredient in marketing development for the university? If they come from a similar type of program, they may. Or they may come from a more intellectual background and see football as more of a waste of time and energy. This will matter as we look at Zook's fate as well as Gunther's. Even if there's a groundswell of support for Zook's firing, it's likely it isn't practical until the new President, Chancellor, AD positions are stabilized. Certainly it would appear that Zook will be here next year if for no other reason that they couldn't find any desirable candidate to take the job given the instability at the top. If true, we would again be experiencing a bad recruiting class this year given the shaky future of the program and will be forcing a new coach, if there is one, to rebuild again. The history of Illinois football repeats itself.
You want to speak like Mark Brown? You can email us, or better yet, give us a call, 888-463-6748. We'll address Mark's comments right after this message with Mark Tupper.
Hey, Illini fans. Looking to win in the game of real estate? There's never been a better time to buy a new home. Interest rates are low, there are plenty of homes to choose from, and ultimately real estate is a great investment. Greg Fisher of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is experienced, professional, and dedicated. As your realtor, Greg can help you find the perfect new home. Contact Greg today at 847-681-4173 or learn more at gregshouses.com. Buy or sell with the man who knows his X's and O's. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT LLC.
Step back in time when going out for dinner meant something really special. Step into Wildfire, a steak and chop house with the aura of a 1940s dinner club. Private and semi-private rooms offer a variety of options for any social or business event. Order from our supper club menu served family style. Try our horseradish crusted filet mignon or Wildfire's delicious cedar plank salmon. Dine at any of our 8 Wildfire restaurant locations. Visit us on the web at wildfirerestaurant.com to find the location nearest you.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com.
All the talk, all the time. This is TalkZone.com. Internet Talk Radio. You're talking Illini on TalkZone. Now back to Boz and Mr. G.
We're back talking Illini, Boz and Mr. G. A special thanks to our sponsors, Joe Rizzo Auto Dealerships, Lakeshore Athletic Clubs, as well as Wildfire Steaks,
it's
Chops,
not, it's
and
not,
Seafood.
Lakeshore Athletic Club is a completely different athletic
club. LPAC, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
But they're somewhere around the Lakeshore.
Yeah, but that's a competitor of them, Boz.
I'm sorry. I guess I have to look at my notes next time.
It's West Loop Athletic Club, Evanston Athletic Club, Lincoln Park Athletic Club, and Lakeview Athletic Club.
All right, Tups, come on in. How are you?
Bob, get it together.
If you heard the first 20 minutes, I'm very ruffled. I'm just drying out from the weekend. I left at the 4-minute mark, so I didn't see that tremendous Buckeye drive against us with the first string in and the pass, the play action on fourth and goal to stuff it in our faces. But I think we deserved it, actually.
Tups, do you remember the science film on rabies with the froth coming out of the mouth, and this is what happens if you get bit by a stray dog?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Well, now you got the mental image of Boz right now.
All right, let's start from the top. I read your article. Like I said, I wasn't in the stadium at the beginning either, so I didn't see the little pushing and shoving. You said we were on the field. Ohio State came out and kind of started it a little, and then our guys got up from stretching and went over and started woofing back, or what? How'd that take place? And should we have,
Boz,
stuck up for us?
Let him speak.
Well, that was the most competitive Illinois was. I mean, they were out there stretching. Illinois was out there stretching. Ohio State came out. I assume it was a little throwback to the 2007 game at the conclusion when Illinois went out and danced around on the Block O out there and all that kind of stuff, and that offended Ohio State. And I think they wanted to just you know, throw down the gauntlet early. There was nothing physical that came of it. It was just a bunch of barking and woofing. The assistant coaches came over and grabbed everybody, and everybody went back and got back in their stretch lines and all that. But it was just, it was entertaining. It was about 45 minutes before kickoff, and we were trying to determine how much rain we were going to end up having. And it was just a little sidelight and almost forgotten about by the time the game was over.
Speaking of assistant coaches getting in there and breaking it up, that was probably the closest they came to the players. I was sitting about 10 rows behind the Illini bench, and I only saw when the offense came off, the offensive coordinator sat the guys down with the subs behind them, and that was the only coaching I saw. I didn't see any other coaches talking to guys the whole game. Everyone would just come off the field and walk around, and by the fourth quarter, Regis is sitting there all by himself, I assume, pretty ticked off.
Well, now, you said the offensive coordinator, I think.
I'm sorry, the offensive line coach.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because Mike Schultz would be up in the
right. Line. No, I meant the line coach. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. I was calculating a number of things at that point, and distance from the coaches to the players wasn't one of them, but I take your word for it. I was over there today. I just got back from Champaign a little while ago. Let me just fill you in on the latest stuff.
Okay. Can't wait.
Juice will start at quarterback. I don't think there was much doubt about that if you've been around the program and know Coach Zook. You know, he talked about any changes would be looked at. But really, and I don't say this as a criticism. I say it as a matter of fact. Coach Zook has often talked about changes, and not many of them materialized. The closest to it has been the Jeff Cumberland demotion. That has been a kind of a change. Jeff Cumberland did get out onto the field at Ohio State, but he has not been in the starting lineup or really a part of that first wave rotation since the Missouri game. But a lot of the other things he's talked about really haven't happened. He talked about the changes at safety. That hasn't happened. He talked about willingness to look at a number of things. I would say that hasn't happened. He's moved a couple people up on the depth chart. So Juice will start a quarterback, okay? So let's get that out of the way. Anyone that was holding their breath for an Eddie McGee alert, that is not going to happen.
Yeah, we weren't holding our breath.
It shouldn't, by the way. I mean, I think that Juice deserves to play quarterback for this team until further notice.
If Eddie McGee was a better option, I would be talking more about it, too. But Eddie McGee turns the ball over more than Juice. More frequently in his passing game, and he doesn't run the option as well. He's a great athlete. I love to watch him in the open field. He's faster. He's quicker. All that kind of stuff. But at this point, Juice is probably still your best option. And I know he's receiving a lot of criticism. I kind of feel bad for him because he is a really terrific kid who probably is as respected as anybody in that locker room. I admire a lot about him. It doesn't mean that he doesn't make me crazy sometimes with some of his decisions, that he doesn't stare down receivers, because he does. There's plenty of flaws there we can pick apart. But if you're asking about options right now, he is probably the best one. And I got emails from people saying, why not Nathan Shielhaas? Gentlemen, let's
right.
not get crazy.
They're more delusional than Bob.
Yeah, there you go. So anyhow, Juice is going to start. Talked to a lot of the players today, those that were available to us, the half dozen or so. And believe me, his teammates are 100% behind him. They really like him. And Juice addressed the team yesterday at practice and basically said, look, we just got to keep playing. We got to keep working for each other. Nobody believes in us. Everybody is kind of giving up on us, and let's band together and do this for each other. We work too hard, and let's keep going. And so they've taken that. I think that they believe, and I think this is an offshoot of what the coaches have told them, that there are a lot of little things. Now, I don't consider tackling and blocking and kicking and those things to be little teams. I'm just talking about what the attitude of the team is right now. The team believes that if they can fix penalties, turnovers, drops,
if we can go from being a fundamentally unsound team to a fundamentally sound team in six days, we've got a real shot.
That's a good way to put it. That's exactly right. And you know, if I've asked them specifically if they, I said, you know, you may not hear from the same people I hear from, but there are people out there who believe there's a genuine crisis, and they're like, no, there's no crisis. It's just we haven't played to our potential, and we get these little things ironed out, and we'll be okay. And I probably don't agree with that, but here's where they have a chance, and then I'll shut up. But I remember at the end of the Ron Turner regime, when that thing had jumped the tracks, you could look around and say, you know what? There's no chance because recruiting has fallen off to a point where there's just not the players to engineer any kind of a turnaround here out of thin air. At least there are players here. Now, are there as many as they need on defense? Probably not. Are some of them underperforming? No question about that. But there are still some players here who have already done it. We've watched them do it before, and Juice is one of them. And so there is at least that going for them. They do have that as a possibility. They just seem to be so out of whack, and this coaching staff seems to be out of whack with them. And so to predict a big turnover, I'm not here to do that. A big turnaround, I'm not here to do that.
So were there any other changes that Zook said would come this Saturday in the lineup?
I think he, without being super specific, he said that their running back rotation, which is too
much
right now, right, that they are about to start to tear that down. He said Jason Ford did not play as well as they hoped. He thought LeSure did. I think he's headed with, if he does what he implied today, more carries for LeSure and Dufresne, fewer for Ford and Pollard. He said we'll have a package for each of them. I think there's always going to be a little Troy Pollard third down package or whatever. But
LeSure seems like he's got a little more fire in him, a little more sense of purpose about what he's doing so far in these first three games. Well, actually, he only played two of them.
He had to dig himself out of the dark.
Yeah,
there.
He only played in two of them. But when he has had the opportunity, it seems like he's running with a sense of purpose. And I like what I want to see from this football team is not only, you know, a return to fundamentally sound play, but I do want them to really play with a controlled sense of violence. This team is a very soft football team.
You will not get an argument from me. I think the other day, one of the things I said in writing about this team, there's not a single thing right now that I think you can say they do well. They do not run the ball well. They do not pass the ball well. They do not stop people from running the ball well or passing the ball. And they are not good on special teams. And if you had to put an overview over all of it, they're not a hard-hitting football team right now. They're not a team that when I watch them, even when the Bears were crappy, they would go out there and knock your block off.
Hardeman is about the only guy who can do that.
And so, I want to see that as well. I want to see that that dimension where they just go out there and start, and not after the whistle either. I'm not calling for that. We don't need any more 15-yard penalties.
Correct. No.
But within the boundaries of the play, let's go.
When you have a guy teed up and the whistle hasn't blown, hit him. You know, make a guy think the next time he comes across the middle, because you hit him so hard the last time, that maybe he doesn't want to reach his arms out that extra 6 inches.
Yeah, I mean, one of the problems might be that, you know, who does the hitting on most football teams? Well, linebackers, safeties, you know, maybe corners. These linebackers are really little. I mean, they're really undersized at that position. They're pretty athletic there, and they're incredibly young. I find it hard to be too critical of Evan Frierson or anybody who's playing for the first time. I mean, that's a tough assignment, but they're really little. I mean, they're 225 pounds, and you're watching a lot of big-time college football teams that have 245, 255-pound linebackers.
So what you're telling us is that we're not nattering nabobs of negativism.
That's correct.
Do you know what he said?
Actually, it's a reference to a very famous columnist who left us on Sunday, William Safire, who loved the English language and who was really one of my favorite columnists to read in American journalism. I don't know if, Tup, you ever read Sapphire or appreciate his work.
Yes, and no truth to the rumor that the Illini lost pushed him over the edge.
All right, so there are players that are there that have shown us before they can do it. Why aren't they doing it now? Is it such a regression in their skills and ability? I can't believe that the offensive schemes and the playbook has changed that much just because the new coordinator, they said they were going to try to keep it the same.
I asked Luke about that today, and because that is the one thing that's changed, and so I think it's natural to look there. He specifically tried, he being Zook, specifically tried to make that transition as smooth as possible. He kept the terminology the same. He kept as much intact as he could. Yeah, there's some blocking scheme changes, and there's some new plays and some new ideas that Mike Schultz had. And there's nothing wrong with that. I remember last year getting a lot of emails from people critical of Loxley's play calling. So I'm probably, those same people are probably the ones who are emailing me now saying, boy, bring back Mike Loxley. But something there, I have a feeling something there has contributed to this. There's been some unexpected hiccups in the whole thing that have been caused by this. Now, what Zook's answer was today, and I think he, as much as he does, I think he tried to give a fairly honest answer. He said, I can't tell you how many nights I've laid awake and thought about that, about would I have done any of this transition stuff differently. And he said, the one thing is, I wish we had been harder on them, them being the offensive players, and maybe the offensive coaches too, but and instead of just taking for granted that we were going to be good. And I don't know how that would have manifested itself, how he could have done that. He never lets you in on those details. But somewhere in there, maybe in the transition and trying to be smooth, they just assumed that it would be seamless and that it would be perfect, and that they didn't pay enough attention to some of the details. I don't know. I don't know that they know. And I talked to Michael Humanaunui today about it, and he was like, you know, I think about it too, and I'm like, what is going on? What have we not done, or what have we done wrong? Or and he's pretty straightforward, and he said, I'm as baffled as anyone. So he said, maybe that's why I keep coming back to the quote little things. What I can see is penalties, missed assignments, a bad throw by Juice, a bad route by me, a bad this or that, and it happens at a time when we need to pick up a first down. We don't. We're off the field. And so, believe me, they are as puzzled in many ways as the fans are. Everyone's got their theories. I'm sure the coaching staff has kicked a lot of them around. I would be interested to hear what Ron Gunther's theories are, because he sat about three seats from me Saturday in the press box. And
did he speak?
Was he pounding his fist on the table?
He was
table, yelling?
Quiet. Believe me, he remembers the incident in basketball all too well.
Yeah.
He sat there quietly. I mean, he looked like he wanted to light himself on fire and jump out the window, but he looked very glum, and he looked very if you're in his position, this is your worst nightmare.
Well, this is his opportunity to put his stamp on the football program and create a legacy beyond facilities. That either says that I finally got it right and we're headed in the right direction.
That's right.
For the first time in 40 years.
That's right.
Or that this was an exercise in futility, and over an 18-year period where I was involved in this football program, we went from bad to worse to okay to worse again.
Ron, I think, is proud of, and rightfully so, the Memorial Stadium renovation, particularly to raise that money in the economic times that he did some of that in.
Well, but remember, really, that money was raised prior to 2007. Well, the crash didn't occur till 2008.
That's right. He was fortunate to jump a little bit ahead there. But nevertheless, to have raised that money and done that, I think he should be proud of that.
Absolutely.
And he would like to try to put a similar stamp on the Assembly Hall. In terms of overseeing that renovation in a way that people go, wow, I didn't know it could be this cool, and thanks for doing that. But the one thing he doesn't want to do is have to revisit this football problem again. And I don't know that he will have to. I mean, that's what we're in the midst of seeing right now. Is this thing going to go completely off the tracks, or can it be salvaged in some way? And so if you are him, believe me, he didn't even want to have to think about this, and I'm sure he's having to think about it.
Tups, we need to keep you here for a few more minutes. We're just wound up and we need an outlet, and you're our therapist today.
Okay, Dr. Tupper at your disposal.
All right, we'll be back in a moment after these words from our sponsors.
Don't put off the things you should do today. Start a financial plan with AXA Advisors. AXA, financial protection. For more information, call Stephen King, financial consultant, 224-554-8053. That's 224-554-8053. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The award-winning Sun Tracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the Sun Tracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com. Or call 888-786-8725. Sun Tracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair. A proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com.
You're listening to TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. Now, back to Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's Boz and Mr. G.
Thank you, Mr. Announcer. Boz and Mr. G back with Mark Tupper, the Decatur Herald Review, talking us off the ledge here prior to the Penn State game. Tubbs, Mr. G has one more question.
I'm not limiting myself to one question, Tubbs.
I've got a bunch. I've been scribbling. We might keep you the whole 2 hours,
Tubbs,
if that's
the
okay.
The day I let Boz start speaking for me, just shoot me, okay? There seems to be a crisis of confidence that permeates this entire program. Players, coaches, administration, fans, media. Why shouldn't we feel this way? Tell me, why should we give Zook and this team any benefit of the doubt?
Well, first of all, I don't want to be portrayed as the guy who's here to talk anybody off the ledge. I might be on the ledge with you. So I'm not really. I completely understand why people are feeling a crisis of confidence, as you call it. I totally understand that. You know, and I think part of it is the Illini way. How many times in football or men's basketball have we had teams that had a certain level of potential and promise that let people down? Illinois' best successes have probably come at times when there wasn't as much at stake or as much promised, when it was a bit of a surprise. And so people get to the point where they resent it a little bit. They feel duped by it. They feel tricked into buying in and believing. And that's oftentimes an emotional investment. But think about the people that rented suites and things at Memorial Stadium. For many people, it's a financial investment as well.
I don't have to think about it. I just have to look at my checkbook register.
There you go. And why did you do that? Well, maybe you would do it under any circumstances, but I'm guessing that in the course of talking to Steve Green or Sean Wax or whoever approached you about it, they also played on the idea that you know what, we've got a coach here who's going to lead us to some great things. And one of the things Ron Gunther told me a long time ago, and I absolutely believe this 100%, and maybe it's a given, but people, when you get right down to it, why do people donate to a school or support or whatever? People want to be associated with a winner. They do. They just want to be a part of something successful, even if it's from the stands or whatever. And they're willing to lay their hearts out there a little bit to see it happen. And going into this, the Rose Bowl season was a perfect example of success when we don't expect it. We didn't expect it at that level, at least. I didn't. And then last year we did expect it, or we at least thought we would have some kind of a positive end to the year, and didn't. It was a letdown. Okay, that happened. Now everyone's coming back on this offense. Look at all these receivers. There's running backs who at least are capable. By golly, this is the year. They're going to be back in the bowl hunt. And kabang, right out of the bat, the disaster in St. Louis, and now a real letdown in Columbus as well. So I think people, they just feel, they feel let down, they feel betrayed, they feel cheated, and they feel angry. And when that happens, I think they want to lash out at people. I mean, some of the emails I've gotten about Juice are very personal. They're wrong, too. I mean, they're nasty. You know, if someone wants to say, I don't like this guy because he stares down receivers or because he does that, that's fine. I mean, criticize him as a football player, but you know what? He's still a young kid who's a, believe me, if you spend any time with him, he's a decent enough kid. And they want Ron Zook out of there right now. And they want, you know, I mean, people want these changes. And I'm not saying they're right or wrong on that stuff, but I think their reaction is somewhat understandable. When you've been led to believe something's going to be good, and it starts out at least really so far off the mark, you feel like, what the heck, you know?
Let's go back to the team on the field. I'm glad to hear you report that they're going to cut down the running back rotation, because I was talking to a friend this morning, and I said that is the first thing also. I said, pick a back and stick with them. You know, they're all about the same, you know, so pick one, stick with them so they can get some confidence, have some rhythm, et cetera. You know, you look at most programs, pro or college, that have one back. You know, the second guy gets in there a couple series or two each half to give them a blow. But I think this hopefully will be a good thing. Hopefully they'll pick the right one, and I like to hear that, number one.
Well, I mean, I hope they do it. I mean, that's what he said today.
Yeah, right. We'll see if it happens.
He's the guy who can put that into motion. But I'm with you. I think particularly four. If you've got four running backs, to me, you don't have a running back. So let's narrow it down to a couple.
Unless you're at USC.
Yes, that's correct. And, I mean, you always want one ready in case he drops the dumbbell in his throat.
Sheesh.
Yeah, we shouldn't be laughing at that. That's really a horrible thing.
Isn't that about the most scary kind of an injury you've ever heard?
I can't imagine that.
Certainly
happening.
Never heard of it
you know,
before.
The only sports injury that has made me cringe more than that was when that pro hockey player was slashed across the throat.
Yeah.
No, not a goalie. Was slashed across the throat with a skate. And that it was, severed an artery.
I'm with you, man.
Yeah.
That was brutal.
Well, I'll come back to the backs in a second now, because now that we're going to zero in on one or two and we have four, you know, I'm upset that it seemed we're seemingly wasting a year on Green. You know, I don't like this playing freshmen on special teams and against ISU and Louisiana Lafayette, and they don't get into the big games. And a couple years from now, we say, boy, we wish we would have had him another year. But, you know, he played in those games. How do you feel about that? I mean, like,
I mean, that's always a danger of playing a freshman early. I mean, we've seen it an awful lot of times. I hope we don't look back and regret playing Terry Hawthorne.
Right.
I mean, I think, in fact, I wish Terry Hawthorne was returning kicks.
Oh, you took the words right out of my mouth.
By the way, why I've lobbied for the last 2 years to not have Aurelius Ben back on kickoffs. I think
he's a
subpar kick returner. He turns his body into the hole. He doesn't hit the hole hard. He doesn't like running back kicks. It's obvious to anybody who's watching that this is not a guy who is really adept at it or who enjoys it.
And he had the one touchdown against, was it Penn State?
Penn State, freshman year.
A hole opened up, he ran straight through. He had no moves or anything.
Right, and I just, I this is not on him personally, but I do not like kick returners who never get up to top speed. I want a guy to run as fast as he can.
Absolutely. And run north-south.
And then make one little move when he sees the crease.
Absolutely.
That causes the coverage team to shift gears, and they're standing there looking at you like I saw the
like Jerry Hester. I mean, not John Hester. Devin Hester.
Jerry might have used to do it on the playgrounds
right.
in Peoria.
No, but Devin Hester, he hits the hole, you know, and he hits it hard, and
well,
that's it.
Pollard was fine against Missouri.
Why not use Green and Hawthorne back there?
Yeah, or now that we've wasted Green, Hawthorne, Pollard, I want to see. Jenkins doesn't do anything for me either.
The answer to your question is, I assume, because the coaching staff doesn't have confidence in their ability to secure the ball. Maybe in drills they've put it on the ground a couple times. I don't know. Practice is closed to the media and has been for a long time now, so I couldn't tell you. But I mean, that is the only solution. If they think that Hawthorne is fumble prone on kickoffs, or is too frail, or if there's any concern about his hand getting blasted on the full speed of the kickoff return. I don't know, but I would love to see him back there, and I think Justin Green would be fine back there. Let's stick them back there. Okay, we just solved that.
If you can put Justin Green into the game against Missouri in a critical situation, you can put him back there and see how he does. This coaching staff is so afraid of losing that they've forgotten how to win football games.
Well, let me tell you, the biggest problem, if you could solve one problem on coaches, and I'm almost always reluctant to pick on individual coaches because I think we forget sometimes that there are families involved, and so you start talking emotionally about throwing guys overboard. I think that can be a little dangerous. But I will tell you what, this special team situation is stupid. It's been so ordinary. When Zook got hired, I thought, you know what, if nothing else, maybe they'll become like the Virginia Tech of the Midwest where they become, you know, because of his experience in the NFL with special teams, where they become a kick-blocking, punt-blocking, return, great return team, you know, with all kinds of just, you know, where that's their reputation. I thought, we're going to see some great special teams play. It has been at best ordinary and usually less than that, and it's been that way all the time. It's just, I hate it.
Right, we get nothing. When we're returning, we get nothing. When we're punting, a couple of the scores the other day came off of bad punts. One punt was 29 yards. The other one was 40 yards, but it was right down the middle and put them into the end zone so they could start at the 20 instead of trying to pin them back.
Tubbs, if you've been listening to the show, you've heard me say nothing, it's been our special teams are not even ordinary. I want extraordinary special teams. We have the worst special teams in the Big Ten. I look at three categories. I look at special teams, I look at penalties, and I look at turnovers. And to me, those three categories are a direct reflection of the motivational and organizational skills of a coaching staff. And when I say the turnovers are reflective of that as well, I believe that the harder you hit, the harder you strip, the more fumbles you create, and it does go to coaching as well. This is where I fault this coaching staff. Those three areas, which are the great equalizers and aren't dependent on pure talent, we have not coached up in those three areas.
You get no argument from me on any one of those 3 points. I just, the special teams thing, I absolutely don't understand it. I mean, it's just, why wouldn't you want to go out and find a proven guy who is a special teams wizard? And you know what? The thing I thought that they might get a break on, I thought the offense might be good enough that we wouldn't have to see as many punts as we have. As it turns out, God, they're punting all the time.
Mark, how many times have we thrown the ball downfield this year? Can you count on one hand?
We did it twice Saturday.
Now, were they passes of over 30 yards?
Yes, just twice.
The one to Regis in the end zone, which he got the pass interference call.
Right, and then the one somebody caught out of bounds.
Against Missouri, there was the one to Faison, which was about 24 yards or something. I mean, we haven't seen him throw the ball downfield a lot, and I think we all wonder why, because actually Deuce has thrown some very good deep balls over his career.
That's his strength.
That's
his best
asset, yeah. Other than running the option.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand it. I know we have a new offensive coordinator who doesn't like to throw the ball vertically. I know that maybe we don't have an offensive line that he feels can't protect. But, you know, if you've got great receivers, throw the ball up to them. Let them make plays.
I'm with you on that as well. I don't know why they've never taught Juice a little bit about the pump fake, which would help him.
Kurt Kitner had a great pump fake. He used to have that little shoulder move.
It work. Absolutely. I saw a graphic the other day on the Steelers game where Roethlisberger, who uses the pump fake a lot, when Roethlisberger pump fakes, his completion percentage is like 20 points higher.
First of all, it slows the rush. It slows the rush up, and it you know, fakes out defensive backs as well.
Well, this speaks to, you know, some deficiency in coaching and player development. That's what's so frustrating. Let me ask you this about the passing game and Ben. I'm watching Saturday. The play that he was, if Juice would have thrown it 3 to 5 yards further, it would have been a touchdown. He had to slow down. He was behind the guy.
Yeah, Ben mentioned that after the game.
But what my question is, that was one of two or three only times where he was split wide as opposed to in the slot. Why does he, if he's our best guy, you know, why does he have to be in the slot 90-some percent of the time instead of giving the opportunity to go out wide and beat a guy deep? And also, I don't see receivers cutting and crossing. They're curling, and nobody catches the ball on the run either for a chance for, you know, yards after catch.
You know, I mean,
Tufts, were you able to identify a question in that rant?
I was able to identify
a
multitude of frustrations, but... you know, I mean, and maybe as we go here, what we'll conclude is we just don't like the play designs and the play calling of Mike Schultz. I don't know. I really want to like him because I watched TCU last year a couple times, and I thought they did some pretty neat things. And I think that there was room for some improvement on the offensive play calling. I am a big Mike Locksley fan in terms of his contribution as a recruiter and also in terms of his influence on Juice. I think there was a comfort level there that might be missing now. But I also thought Locks, missed opportunities in terms of his play calling and so forth. So I was kind of looking forward to maybe a little different approach, but through three games, I have to say that I see a lot of the same things you're seeing and wonder if they'll get changed or improved or corrected. And I would also hope that Mike Schultz is sitting down with Juice and saying, look, things aren't working here as well. You tell me what you see. What are we not calling that would make you more comfortable, that you think you can do? Maybe we're just not quite on the same page here. And I don't know if that conversation's going on. I would hope it has.
I have a feeling that this Saturday's game may be the most important game of Ron Zook's career. And I believe that if there isn't a real substantial improvement in this team and a respectable showing in this game, that it's just a matter of time.
Well, I think you got to be a little careful with that, because when you start talking about firing head coaches, which is kind of what you're talking about, you have to remember who does the hiring and firing. You got to take into account that coach's boss, his attitude, his relationship with him, and his situation. And so when people say, well, you know what, if they go 3-9, he's going to be fired, I wouldn't be so sure about that.
I don't believe that Zook will be fired this year. I don't believe that there'll be any change this year. I just think that there are moments in history and moments, you know, in the evolution of a university, a sports program, where you can point and say, this is the moment that his fate was sealed. And it may come in 2010. It may come with a new AD. It may not come this year, but that will be the moment that you look back on and you say, this sealed his fate.
Well, you might be right about that. I mean, if they were to go out there and really lay a colossal egg Saturday, I mean, if this is the season that does that, I will probably go back to the Missouri game and say, They walked into an important game that should have had everyone's full attention and looked completely as though they were not ready to play.
You mentioned Gunther wanting to stay around until the Assembly Hall renovation is complete.
He sounded like Bob Pulford there, Paz. The organization.
So does that mean, I mean, if that happens, which is what, and Zook is signed through, I think, 2013 now, I mean, would Gunther fire him if we get a couple 3-9s, or will he wait till he's done and a new AD comes in and gets his own guy, or how?
I don't know. You know, one thing I've learned is that you never know how things are going to feel, and I can't imagine a pair of 3-9s not feeling pretty awful for people. So I understand that. He's in a little bit of an awkward situation too, because he just extended it.
Right.
And the other thing is too here. I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but let's imagine that he decided he had to make a change. We're walking into a really different era of university hierarchy here. In the past, Ron's had presidents and chancellors and boards of trustees who knew him, liked him, and trusted him. He's been the one-man search committee. A lot of schools will not do that, not at all. And all of a sudden, his buddies are gone. And I'm not saying he won't be friends with and respected by the next president or chancellor or the new members of the board of trustee, but he's going to be in a very different situation where the rules for firing and hiring could be different. And when you're in a period of austerity and you've just extended a guy, it's pretty hard to wander in there and say, you know what, I know I just gave this guy another year on his contract, but we got to make a change. I mean, you know, then they look at him and say, well, you know what, maybe we ought to make the change with you.
Yeah.
Well, Tubbs, can you hang out for another 15 minutes? If you can't, don't, you know, we understand.
We're having fun, but that's all right. I mean, you tell us.
You know what? I'll try to hang in here for 15.
All right, we're gonna break quickly and come back with a final 15 minutes with Mark Tupper, who's been gracious and good enough to extend a stay on the show. Mark, we really appreciate it.
Chicago Athletic Club is the number one athletic club chain in Chicagoland, according to the Chicago Tribune. For membership info, visit their Lincoln Park, Lakeview, Evanston, or West Loop locations, or call Pat Cunningham at 773-529-2024. Tell him Boz and Mr. G sent you, and receive 1 month absolutely free. That's 773-529-2024. Chicago Athletic Clubs, another great Illini sports experience.
You buy the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzoCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzoCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll buy the car you want at RizzoCars.com.